Welcome to our service for Easter Day.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia, grace and peace be with you.
And keep you in the love of Christ. Alleluia. Jesus, you raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you bring pardon and peace to the sinner. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you give light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us confess our sins to Almighty God.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have done what we ought not to have done, and have failed to do what we ought to have done. We are sorry and truly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and lead us in his way to walk as children of light. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on us and set us free from sin. Strengthen us in goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Collect for Easter Sunday. Lord of all life and power, who, through the mighty resurrection of your Son, overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honour, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen.
The reading is taken from Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second Bible reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I should remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to someone untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So divine, divine.
The Gospel reading is from the Gospel according to St. Mark, 16th chapter, beginning at the first verse. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away this stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. They were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised, but he is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb. A terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In our reading from Acts today, we see the Roman centurion Cornelius inviting the Apostle Peter to his house in Caesarea. It must have taken a good deal of courage. Caesarea was the capital of the Roman province of Judea, and the governor was in residence there. We're not quite sure of the date of Cornelius's conversion, but if it was before 36 AD, then the Roman governor in residence would still have been Pontius Pilate, on whose authority Jesus had been crucified in Jerusalem. Even if Pilate had by now been removed from office, it was no small step to strike up a relationship with the man who Cornelius must have known was Jesus' leading disciple, still preaching in his name, and to invite Peter into his home. These were troubled times. Pilate was probably removed from office because of how he dealt with one of the many local rebellions that arose during his tenure. To meet Peter might have looked like fraternizing with the enemy. But there is about Cornelius a real spiritual thirst and a real spiritual humility. He is what the New Testament elsewhere calls a God-fearer, a Gentile man who was attracted to the Jewish faith but could not belong to it because of his birth. So he was a friend of the local synagogue in Caesarea, we read, but probably not a worshipper there. Such people were probably attracted to the seriousness of Judaism, its deep morality, and its sense of the holiness and awesomeness of the one true God in whom the Jews believed. The content of what Peter shares with those in Cornelius' house is what we call the kerygma, the proclamation. The kerygma is consistent across Acts. We see it in our reading from 1 Corinthians today as well, as Paul reminds the Corinthians of what he had preached to them. It is what the apostles preached wherever they went. It always includes an account of the wonderful ministry, cruel death, and resurrection of Jesus, along with the claim that the apostles are God's chosen witnesses of the resurrection especially. "They put him to death by hanging him on a tree," says Peter. "But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses." In the course of Peter's preaching, Cornelius' spiritual thirst is suddenly and unexpectedly satisfied. The Holy Spirit falls on the hearers unmistakably, and Cornelius and his household become the first Gentile converts to Christianity. We celebrate this morning the new life made possible by the resurrection of Jesus. And this move that Cornelius makes from the Gentile world into the church is one of the most powerful expressions of newness of life throughout the New Testament. The people who made it had mostly been like Cornelius, had felt themselves attracted to a faith from which they were by their race excluded. But now they were brought into living relationship with the God whom they had thought they could only worship from afar. "You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel," writes Paul, "and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." The whole of their life has been made new. They have been brought close to God, and they now know what it is to belong to his people. At the heart of this message is the gospel, the good news of forgiveness from sin. Back in Cornelius' house, that is the note that Peter ends on. Everyone who believes in Christ receives forgiveness of sins through his name. We read that Cornelius had called together all his close friends and relatives to hear the apostle. We don't know whether the slaves, who would undoubtedly have been part of the household, were also there. But it would have been normal if Cornelius were baptized for all his household, including his slaves, to be baptized with him. That is the second metaphor for new life, which dominates the thinking of St. Paul. To put your faith in Christ is like being freed from slavery. You might have been a slave to many things. "I am unspiritual," says Paul, "sold as a slave to sin." Where Cornelius is a convert to Christ from paganism, Paul is a convert to Christ from Judaism. He arrives at this point from exactly the opposite direction. Where Cornelius had almost certainly been attracted by the profound holiness and morality of the Jewish faith from the outside, Paul had been trying to live within that code of holiness all his life, and it had become a slavery to him. Unforgiving of others, he had discovered that the person who most needed forgiveness and the person he found it hardest to forgive was himself. He had become enslaved by his own religious standards and by the knowledge of his failure to live up to them. "Who will free me?" he cries. "Who will free me from this body of death?" Often, in the Roman world, a slave would be freed because the master of the house had no heir to ensure his posterity. The slave would be freed and then adopted into the family as its heir. Where previously he had been an article of property, now for the first time he could own property on his own account. His children, who would previously have been born automatically into slavery, would now be free. It was quite literally like being born again. And the joy and freedom which it brought was exactly the same, says Paul, as the joy and freedom you can experience when Jesus frees you from your sin and you are adopted as a child of God. When we cry, "Abba, Father," he writes, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The role of the Spirit in all this is crucial. As the Holy Spirit of God falls upon Cornelius and his friends and relatives, so his long spiritual thirst is satisfied. "Whoever drinks of the water I will give," says Jesus, "will never thirst again." This life in the Spirit is the new life that Cornelius and his family enter into on that momentous day. Almost certainly, it would not be an easy life. There was much to learn, and quite possibly much to suffer, as the Roman Empire persecuted the Christians again and again in those early centuries. But Jesus had promised Peter that the gates of hell could not prevail against the church he was to lead. Peter, the man who brought to Cornelius the most precious gift that a man can receive, this same Peter would be put to death by the emperor in whose army Cornelius served. But the emperors of Rome persecuted the Christian church in vain. The Christians had found new life, new freedom, new forgiveness, new belonging. They had tasted the living water, and nothing could take the taste of it from their lips. The threat of death did not deter them. They were living a new life, in a living relationship with the Lord whom Rome had tried to kill. But as the Easter story tells us, hell could not hold him, and the gates of hell would not and cannot prevail against the church that bears his name. We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. Amen.
Let us declare our faith together.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. We believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Oh,
we come to our prayers. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. As our Saviour taught us, we boldly pray. In ta da hynoed yn y nefaith, sancteiddi ydy enw, dyle dy dernas, gwnele dy wychlis, negis yn y nef fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dyron ni heddiw ein bar y beinyddiol, y maddau ni ein dyledion fel y maddeiwn ni na ein dyledwyr, ac nac ar rhan ni brofedigaeth eith y gwared ni rhag drwg, canu seith o ti o'r dernas a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We pray for the Church of Christ throughout the world, for Christians who celebrate with us today the resurrection of Christ and who share with us the new life which he came to offer. We pray for Joanna, our bishop, Eileen, our archdeacon, John, our area dean, and for the assistant clergy of our area, for Judith, Heilwen, John, and especially our brother David. We pray for all the lay people who make the ministry of our churches possible. And we remember especially those brothers and sisters in our own area and elsewhere whose churches have still not reopened, so that they cannot worship as they would wish to on Easter Day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we see the signs of springtime all around us and the newborn lambs beginning to appear in the fields, so we give thanks and we pray for the farming community of Ceredigion, especially the farmers of our own parishes. We thank you, Lord, for their provision for us all, and we pray your blessing on their life and work. We pray especially for any for whom the times are hard. We know that everything that is hard has been made harder by our isolation from each other. And we pray especially for those who live on the land but feel isolated from family and community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the children of our parishes as they adapt to the unforeseen changes which the pandemic has forced upon their education in schools and at home. And as their holidays are once more somewhat restricted, we pray nonetheless that parents and children might find refreshment and enjoyment together. We pray for teachers and for all those with responsibility for our schools. And we remember too those who work with children in other capacities, especially those who run voluntary activities for children and can still not start their meetings again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the elderly, especially those who live in isolation or those who live in care homes which their families are still unable to visit. We pray for those folk from our own churches who are in care homes and ask your blessing upon them. We thank you for the hope that soon they may at least be allowed to receive one visitor. We give thanks for all who work in our care homes, who have done such lonely and amazing work over these last months. And we pray for them as times return to normal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those known to us who are ill, in our families and among our friends. We pray for those who are bereaved. We pray especially for those we would wish to see, but from whom at present we are forced to be separated. Be with them, Lord. Bless them and keep them. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you, this Easter time and always. Amen.